You know what I disagree on, and I don't know whether you agree on this. Agree Ooh, with me
okay,
on this.
Hit me.
I disagree on
fucking oath, cunt. Oh my god.
So guys, today we're doing a sissy advice ep. We've got so many cues, so we're actually going to do two. So if yours doesn't get answered today, it will in the next one.
Life is always happening for you if you believe that. Everyone expects to be with their current partner forever.
Like every single heartbreak that I've had, you think it's the end of the world. And then you realize that life does happen for you when you're in that right relationship.
And that was just like, part of your journey.
We did this thing where we literally had to act out a fucking scene from a movie.
Stop. What one did you do?
Welcome to another episode of Talk Toby to Me. I'm Jess.
And I'm Meg, and we're two sisters that love to talk all things business, mindset, self-development, and everything in between.
This is normally part of our weekly phone catch-ups, but hot girls don't gatekeep, so we've decided to bring our combos to you.
Hey, sissy babe.
Hey, boo.
How are you?
I know, I've missed you so much.
Yeah.
How have you been since we last recorded?
I am feeling, for the first time I think ever, sad to be home for my holiday.
Aww.
Something about the ski trips that just, that's my happy place. But I was saying to Nick yesterday, I feel grateful that I've like obviously love what I do, and I got straight back into my business mentoring calls yesterday and just normal work things. So, yeah, it makes it a lot easier to come back.
How are you?
I love that. Tell us about the trip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. There's been so much even since before that, because I had trainers training before we went, which was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we flew out early Monday morning.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. So, like, I haven't talked to you in fucking ages.
I know.
Like, well, we haven't for us.
So, trainers training was so good. So it's one of Morgan's events, and it's basically like to become a trainer on stage. So it's different to a speaker. The difference is you're not just giving a speech on a stage. You're actually facilitating a change or a transformation in the people that are there. But it went for 3 full days. His event's always so fucking long, but they are packed with value. We went through all of the different things you need to know, obviously, to be a world-class trainer. So I guess how to structure if you were to present on stage, whether it be emceeing for someone else or facilitating your own event. And there's just like so much technical stuff that you don't think of that makes such a big difference to keep the audience engaged for however long you're speaking to them for.
What was the highlight of the event? Did you do any weird shit like the arrow in the throat?
He always does weird shit.
Yeah. So like what was this time's weird thing?
I think this event is more like technical stuff as opposed to transformational work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so you're learning a lot about actually how to run these events, but all of his events have this like weird, I was saying to me, all these events have this weird thing where you go in day one, you feel like raging anxiety because you don't know what's to come. Day two is like a lot of work. And then day three is like high vibes and you leave feeling really good and you want to do the next one. And I was just like laughing because it's like, I'm like, he's definitely fucking planned it like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm excited to... yeah, put that into practice this year. We also did a little bit of other things like how to write your own bio.
Don't we have ChatGPT for that?
No, like the structure of it. So like all these things that people just wing, there is framework for that make it so much more engaging, which I think
love that.
Like is, yeah, what we were learning about how to structure. So it's a lot less about like the content and more about the framework. Mm-hmm. So that you can apply it to any different event. We did this thing where we literally had to act out a fucking scene from a movie.
Stop. What one did you do?
That's the part I don't want to ruin. So we're like, so there's different speaker archetypes. Yeah. And so he was essentially, there were a few different options. And the speaker archetype thing was really interesting, actually, if I just briefly go through them, because it made a lot of, I think I've said this about a lot of events that I've been to in the kind of past year. A lot of the things I learn are things that I do naturally, but it's really helpful to have the terminology behind it, if that makes sense.
And like validate that what you're doing is like for a purpose.
Yeah.
What you're already doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So the different speaker archetypes, you've got the marshal, who's like the real assertive, like dominant, kind of direct, you don't fuck with them kind of person. Then you've got the adolescent, which is like a real funny, kind of cocky teenager vibes, which Morgan's got a little bit of, actually a lot of, like makes a lot of jokes and stuff like that, very playful. Then you've got the lover / the mother. So like, if you think about everyone who's in the feminine entrepreneurial space at the moment, very much like
nurturing,
yeah, like a,
in flow kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got the champion, which is like Tony Robbins style, like really, you've got this, a lot of encouragement, like I guess David Goggins, he'd be a little bit of martial, a little bit of champion. Then you've got the professor, who's very much like science and facts based. And then you've got the archaeologist, which I feel like I resonate most with, which is where you're like really digging and asking lots of questions and unpacking, like it's always like the let's unpack that, or what if this happened, or think about this. And you want to be a good trainer is someone who's a bit of everything and knows kind of how to pick and choose the right archetype for the, to get the transformation. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm resonating with the marshal and the lover mother.
Yeah. Right.
Like, which is weird because I feel like that's a mask versus femme, like quite.
Yeah, fully. But it is good because when I was listening, I was like, I could think about different clients that I have used all of them with, but like, you know, when to push a little more. Like the week before I went away, I had a call with one of my business mentoring clients and she was crying on the call because she was so stressed out about this thing that I wanted to get her to do. And I remember getting off the call and I actually told her this because she'd been mentoring with me for ages after we spoke about kind of after we'd overcome the thing that she was working on. But I was telling Nick how I got off the call and I felt like I may have just pushed her a little too far. Like that might have been too much of a stretch for her. And then anyway, it was this big fucking transformation that we spoke about the following week and she was so grateful that I did it. But it was the first time I'd kind of, got off a call where I was like, ooh, I don't know if I've just pushed her a little too far and she's not going to be happy about it.
Particularly also because like your approach is very like empathetic and like, okay, how can we make this work for you? Not like you need to just suck it up, princess.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And this particular task I wanted her to do, she was almost, I think, taken back because I am normally like that. I'm normally very understanding and very archaeologist archetype. But there's a point where you need to, like, we have a responsibility as mentors to not keep people stuck and needing you, in quotations. And when you know that they're either have been stuck in this same loop or pattern for too long and you know they have transcended it or whatever it is, like, so yeah, it was really cool anyway to learn all these different frameworks and be able to kind of understand the purpose of why I do things and do them now with more intention. And then Japan, wow. Like I said, sad to be home, TBH. But we were literally at the airport coming home, booking our trip for Canada for Christmas.
I just love that. Also, always cut when you're not at family Christmas.
Well, we've decided
we'll talk about that off air.
We decided we'll do every second year so no one gets pissed.
Yeah,
but
right.
Also, you could just come.
Maybe I'll just come. I'm not vibing it, but like, I'm also very fucking challenged when it comes to any kind of sports, guys. Like, if you're an avid listener, you already know this. So, like, the thought of going skiing, like, I can ski. Like, I wouldn't say well. It's been a long time. But, like, the thought of me having my feet connected on one board, like, snowboarding, absolutely not.
I feel like you should stick to skiing.
But then they get all tangled in each other and stuff, and it's just a whole thing. But, like, I'd just be going to sip hot chockies or something. So I feel like I should go somewhere else.
The Bailey's hot chockies were a thing. Every afternoon we got them and we had a little debrief on the day. Yeah, it was a vibe.
I love that. Love that.
So we went to Tokyo for 5 nights first. And to be honest, won't be hurrying back. We had a really good time, but it was more because of the group we were with. So there were 12 of us in Tokyo. And we just always have the best time together. It's kind of the same group we travel with.
I just fucking love your friendship group. Like, I messaged Meg when she was away saying, I just love your group. Like, I hope my kids have a friendship group like yours, because it's just so nice how you just all go on holidays together, and it's just a vibe.
It's literally my gratitude. I'm going to do a couple of gratitudes this episode, but it's, yeah, on top of my gratitude list is also just like how you'd think traveling with a group of 12, there'd be drama, but there's never drama.
There shouldn't be. We don't fuck with people like that.
Literally. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
But yeah, Tokyo, I feel like if I went back, I'd need to be with someone who knows the ins and outs of Tokyo, like someone Japanese.
Yeah.
Because, so if anyone listening wants to take me to Tokyo.
Liz, you're up.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think there's a lot of like hidden gems that you don't know about, because everything's, it's a very interesting place. But we still had the best time, so many incredible views.
So I totally agree with you about the hidden gems, and we talked about this on the phone before we, like the other day when we were planning this app, how like, because when I went to Tokyo, it was 2011, wow, for a fashion exchange when I studied, like I was at fashion college, and I went with like my fellow, what do you call them? Students?
Yeah.
And one of them was like big into Japan and like Japanese culture and spoke fluent Japanese, which was like, also I feel like there's a huge language barrier. So
fully.
Yeah.
But also, fun fact, on Google or on your phone, there's a thing where you literally can take a photo and it translates everything. So, like, we were using that so much, and I can't imagine going in 2011 if that, because I'm pretty sure it's like a relatively new feature.
Yeah, 100%. That was not a thing in 2011. But this particular friend was like all up on the what to do, the where to go kind of vibes. And so, yeah, I feel like it's really, it's not like going to Europe where you can see all the restaurants and shops. Like, well, this is my memory. Like, it might be a bit inaccurate after 13 years. But it's not like Europe and whatever, where you can see all the shops and the restaurants like from the street. It's like, to know where the cool stuff is, you've got to, like, you need a guide almost.
Yeah,
but I do remember it being really cool when I went. And I feel like it would also be really beautiful in cherry blossom season, which I think is in May. So we probably both missed that.
Yeah, it's like after the winter season. But it's, I do remember like the first few days I was like, I could actually live here. Like, it's so clean. Everyone's so friendly. And it's just a really calming, grounding place. Like, I felt very comfortable. Whereas when I have been to Europe and America, I'm like, absolutely fucking literally could not live here.
Although you would have a problem with not being able to drink your coffees on your walk.
Yeah, guys, fun fact, you can't like eat on the go. It's like really frowned upon. Oh my God, also, you can't, you know, like our mum used to, we'd do our groceries and she'd eat the grapes as we like, or even the fucking natural confectionery lollies.
Yeah,
and
you just
give them the empty packet at the register.
Yeah, I low-key do that. I don't do the grapes because I want to wash them.
Yeah, yeah,
but
fully.
Like, if I buy like a little, I don't know.
Snack,
I might eat it.
Shopping snack.
Yeah, I've actually eaten a whole jar of jalapenos while I've been grocery shopping once.
What the fuck?
It's not a regular thing. I must have been dieting or something and starving. Yeah, so these pickles plain pickles, not pickles, sorry, jalapenos, like they have, they're just salt and vinegar. Like there's no sugar or anything in them. So I was just munging on this jar of fucking jalapenos. And I actually, on that note, remember like when I was tracking back in the day, like, and or dieting and obviously in a deficit, I'd like eat like a bag of snow peas and I'd be so off myself that I had to wash the snow peas. Anyway, moving on. Obviously, yeah, you can't do that in Japan.
Yeah. So I, in this Echo, which is a snow, for anyone who doesn't know, we were in this little convenience store and we were like getting fucking whatever. It was a night we didn't go out for dinner. We were just getting food from there. And I had this like thing of chicken and everyone was like frothing this chicken. So I started eating it as I was doing my shopping. And the guy comes up to me and he was like basically yelling at me saying that it's like a, against the law. And like I couldn't understand what he was saying fully, but it was like the vibe was I was going to go to prison if I didn't stop. I think it was hectic. Dead.
Okay, if I got a call from you. Also, like, low-key hoping Meg gets in, well, no, like, not knowing, but, like, we're getting the vibe that Meg, like, will get engaged this year, right? So imagine I get this phone call when you're in jail.
You're expecting, like...
I'm expecting, like, a, I just got engaged and it's, like, I'm in fucking jail.
Anyway, so yeah, you can't walk, you can't eat and walk on the go, but that's why everything's so clean. There's no bins anywhere because like you don't need them. But anyway, then we went to the snow for I think 7 nights and it was just the fucking best time ever. It was kind of shitty conditions the first 2 days and I was actually a little bit disappointed because I was like, this isn't really any different to the snow that I've been on in Australia or New Zealand. And then it started snowing on the third day and it didn't stop for the entire rest of the trip. And it was like, I cannot even describe. It's my heaven. It is my actual like happiest place. And the snow in Japan is like so much lighter and fluffier. It's so heavy, as in like it was pumping, but it's like not wet like in Australia because obviously it's a lot colder.
Does that make it less scary? Because it's not like, you know, when you're going
down. Yes, like, fully.
Yeah, it's like yeah, that. Scraping. Because that's the scary bit for me. Like if I fell, I'd
be
sore. I'd hurt myself.
No, like the powder, it's like there's actual powder. Whereas because I lived in Perisher for a whole season, I got to experience that. But if you just go for a week in Australia, like it's rare that you're going to get a big kind of dump of snow. But yeah, it was just the best time ever. We had so many good meals. Also, another random fact, we didn't eat sushi till like the second last night of a 2 week trip. That's what I said to
you. You cannot find fucking sushi in Japan.
Yeah.
Like it's not a thing.
It's like...
Well, it wasn't a million years ago. But there's like fuckloads of hot noodle bowls.
Ramen, yeah. Ramen and udon and stuff. Which I'm not like a massive fan of. I was having it because I was like getting into the culture. But... I was like Asian fusion in Australia is like my favorite cuisine, but also it's kind of like westernized.
It's not Japanese either. It's more like usually Southeast Asia, the Asian fusion that we eat in Oz.
Yeah, right. Well, no, because I love like sushi and sashimi and...
Yeah, but that's Japanese, not Asian fusion, I feel, unless I'm just totally wrong. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Best trip ever. I also went heliboarding. Which is fucking sick. Like this, we were on top of a volcano.
Oh my God, just stop that right now.
La, la, la. Best time ever. So yeah, has your fortnight been?
It feels like so much longer than that. So after we last recorded, I actually think it's been nearly 3 weeks. It has been 3 weeks since we last recorded. So since then I had my best friend's wedding. She's pregnant and she found out a few weeks before her wedding and obviously wasn't announcing. They actually decided to announce like the groom, her husband was announcing in the speeches at the wedding. So I knew, but no one else knew except the family. And she was so fucking sick. Like she didn't get morning sickness at all with Van, her first child. And the wedding was very low key. So it was a Friday, Saturday scenario. The Friday, we got our hair and makeup done, and she just eloped at the registry, which was so nice. So we're polar opposites, but we've been best friends for like 12 years. No, 14 years. Yeah, 14 years. And her thing is like, hates attention, no photos, like wanted it over and done with as quick as possible. Didn't want anyone to be there.
She, can't relate.
Yeah, can't relate. She wanted, like she, we did this dinner after the wedding registry, like the actual wedding, and she didn't even want to do the dinner. Like her husband wanted to do this thing with a big group and whatever. So anyway, we did the wedding registry thing. I don't know what you call it. She got married. And then we went, like, did all the photos.
Ceremony.
Yeah, ceremony. Did all the photos. It was like 30 million degrees as well. And we're like traipsing through the city. So then that night we went to, like, we had a, like, this bar thing we went to in between, like, after the photos. And then we went to a dinner in the city with like 25 people. So there was only 11 or 12 at the ceremony. And then there was like 25 at the dinner. And at the dinner, she wasn't feeling the best, but then she ended up getting really, really sick, like before the mains came out. And she was like thinking it was pregnancy sickness. And so I ended up taking her home, like literally as the mains were coming out, I took her home and her husband and son stayed with like the family and friends. And I wasn't staying up there. I came home, like dropped her home, like did whatever, and then came home. And then her husband came home and was also violently ill. So they reckon they had like a bit of heat stroke originally. So it went from being morning sickness to heat stroke to then the following day on the Saturday, we had the wedding reception, which was like chill. I think it was about 50, 60 people. And it was really, really nice. She actually wasn't even going to be able to stay till past the speeches. So the reception started at 5. We did the speeches at 6. She wanted me to take her home then originally. So sorry.
Like, she was still sick.
Yeah. So originally she wasn't even going to be able to go. Like, she was so sick on the Saturday. We had to switch the schedule around a bit so she could like rest a bit longer. Like, I was like,
fuck, that sucks.
Yeah. She was so fucking sick. It wasn't even funny. She was like, I can't even come to my own wedding reception. And then she ended up coming. She looked fucking beautiful. Like, literally beautiful.
She did.
Yeah, she was just glowing. I was like, wow, you look so good. And then also considering you feel so bad.
Yeah.
But she couldn't tell anyone she was pregnant. And then she ended up staying till about 9 o'clock. So she kind of came good. It was coming in waves, but she kind of like started feeling a little bit better. I think also once he announced her pregnancy at the speeches at the 6, like, it was a bit of a relief for her. I ended up taking her home and then like still took her home early, and then they actually went on their honeymoon just for a couple of nights. They were staying at a winery the week after, and they were violently ill, the both of them, that whole time as well. Long story short, they actually had gastro and they were fucking ill for their wedding, after the wedding, reception, honeymoon, and yeah, just the poor thing. Honestly, like, she already didn't really like want to do any of this stuff, and then like she honestly, when I dropped her home, she's like, I'm so fucking glad that's over, which is just awful because like, yeah, I wanted her to feel like it was the best day of her life.
Yeah,
but it's just, I mean, also not really her thing. So I'm glad she's married, I'm glad it's over for her.
Yeah, and also like, I mean, it's a bit of toxic positivity, but like, if she was expecting it to be the best day of her life.
Yeah, fully.
It'd be more disappointing.
Disappointing, yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was that. And then the following weekend, like the weekend just gone, we had our work, like our salon Christmas party we do after Christmas. So myself and my team, and then my girlfriend who runs another salon and her team, we usually do them together. And we took the girls to Palm Beach for the weekend to have like, you know, nice dinner, drinks, relax at the beach.
The Acom was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was so, so nice. And Casey did such so good weather. Yeah, well, actually it wasn't the main day. The Saturday was actually terrible, but the first day and the last day, always the case, was beautiful. But the so the accommodation was stunning. We had this beautiful platter on arrival, had a few drinks. And then I actually, on the Friday that we were going, woke up with raging diarrhea.
I was thinking, is gastro like going around in Wollongong?
No, it full blown is. So anyway, I thought, that's fucking weird. Dylan had had it like 2 weeks prior. So I was like, I kind of got gastro from him. And yeah. Also at this point, I didn't really fully know that Amara and Tim had gastro because they originally thought they had heat stroke. Anyway, went to this weekend, was shitting through the eye of a needle the entire weekend and vomiting. So I was doing the whole Bali belly sitting on the toilet with the bin bucket.
Oh, no.
That was only one time though that I spewed, but like for one of the times. But yeah, I was like, I literally felt like a shell of a human for that whole weekend. I did my first solid poop this morning, guys. It's Monday morning. So Thursday night was my last one before that. So yeah, basically I felt fucked the whole weekend. We had this beautiful, like Saturday was a pretty chill day. We went for a swim, got fucked up by the ocean. We had this beautiful lunch planned, or like early dinner kind of thing planned at Bert's at Newport, at the Newport, which would have been like, it was so beautiful, but I honestly felt like dog shit. And you know, when you're like, I literally should be in the fetal position.
Yeah.
And I was coming in waves, like after a bit, like I was like, oh, I feel okay. And then I was like, I am not okay. So yeah, anyway, that weekend was nice for everyone else. Love that for them. I'm grateful that they had a good time. But yeah, I felt like fucking dog shit. And then yesterday, Monday, I had like business as usual, but I worked from home. So I was feeling like a sack of shit, like really fatigued. Actually, Dylan and I went for a walk and a swim in the morning. And we were walking so slow. Like normally we're like, you know, got this, you know, regular walking pace. And I was like, babe, we are like lagging compared to normal. And yeah, I could still only eat like toast and plain chips and shit like that. But today, last night, I started to feel like heaps better. And I was messaging Amara and I was like, you won't believe it, I had bloody gastro on the weekend. She goes, you know what? I do believe it, because you're not the first message we've gotten from a wedding guest that has fucking gastro. I was like, she goes, I feel so fucking bad. All these people traveled far and wide, like some international, to like come and see us for our wedding, and here's your party favor, gastro. And she was just like, fuck my life. I said,
oh my God, nah, if they got it on the plane home though.
Because a lot of people flew to state as well. Yeah, so I was kind of like, cheers. Nah, I didn't, like, it is what it is. I'm skinny, so whatever. Nah, kidding.
Off brand. Off MDTVY brand.
You know what I am? No, it's so off brand for me, the gut health, because I'm actually devoed that I had that happen, because I'm going to Bali on Friday, guys, and with my bestie Dylan, and we are so fucking
glad
excited.
You clarified, because actually I'm the original bestie.
Yeah, sorry. My other bestie, my Wollongong bestie, my man bestie. So we're going to Bali on Friday, and I'm like all about the gut health, if you don't know this, like if you know you know. And I'm just fucking devastated that now my microbiome is impaired, because I obviously got some kind of bacteria. And it's already impaired when I'm about to go to Bali. And people are like, oh, at least you got it out of the way before Bali. I'm like, it doesn't work like
that. That's not how it works.
Yeah. I was like, it doesn't work like that. Now I have an imbalance of bacteria. So I'm doing all the things, taking the subs. But I have only just been able to start doing that last night. Because, you know, when you're nauseous and you take a vitamin, you're like, I'm going to spew.
Yeah.
So anyway, probiotics, la la la, all the things, some sups that I've got from my protocols and whatnot are now on rotation, and we'll take them to Bali. So yeah, it's been a big couple of weeks socially. From the work front, on the work front, I have finally found, well, actually you found them, so I can't take any credit. Meg found, and I was like, give me her details right now, this queen.
She is so good.
Like this integration queen. So she is going to build out this thing that I've been working on for like forever. And we haven't
really
like...
Shout out to you, Betty.
Betty, you are the real MVP. Yeah, so found the person for this project to create this big... To create this... onboarding process that's all automated for any student and client, like mentorship client, new lead inquiries. New lead. Yeah. So we've got that happening. She's going to start soon. She reckons it'll take 2 weeks, like just absolutely take my money. And then I've told you guys I've hired, she starts today. So I've hired the brow and lash artist that is going to be working under House of Brows. She's just such a sweetheart, and she's going to be full-time offering all those services that we don't offer, like not the tattooing. So, but she's also one of my students, so she's going to be learning, like, you know, practicing her tattooing at the same time to add that eventually to her services. So super excited to have a new team member. Super excited to welcome her to the space and the team. And apart from that, we've just spent like a bit of time the last few weeks. I've spent a bit of time shadowing Lauren, one of my tattoo artists, to get her a little bit more confident with the ombre technique. So, and we also did combination brows together last week. So kind of business as usual for me, but like making the moves that I've been trying to find people for the past few months. So it's so nice to feel like, yep, I can tick that off now. And also perfect timing to be going on vacay on Friday. So I'll have next week off. We're away for 10 days. So it's like next week and then the 2 weekends. So I've moved my calls and work and stuff so that I can be offline for the most part. And I'm just really excited to spend that time. Like Dylan and I keep saying to each other, like, we're so excited to have like each other just fully to ourselves for 10 days, like not broken up by work or other commitments. So really excited.
I actually struggled with taking time off.
I noticed.
Like mentally.
Oh, okay.
I intentionally didn't work, for anyone listening, intentionally didn't work while we were over there, and actually had Lauren take over my check-ins and she only did the same. But mentally I really struggled to not do, it was interesting, an interesting observation.
See, I am completely fine with it. I really value it. But I definitely haven't always been like that. So just feel so ready to go when I get back to.
I think part of it is because I just done the transition with my new marketing manager.
Yeah,
so
that's
like a
hard.
Lot of things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But this was like a pre-planned, obviously, holiday where we were taking time off. But it leads into my gratitudes. Obviously, what I said earlier, or after it's been chopped out, the group that we went away with were they're just the best. We just always have the best time. Also Shioni for organizing literally majority of the trip, because
if you know, you know.
Yeah. Like I'm not allowed. I have been cut off from organizing things or booking things, sorry. And Lauren for where my business is at, to be able to take 2 weeks off, and despite my mental struggle, everything still moved normally.
And I just love that for Lauren, that she just exceeded, well, not even exceeded the expectations, because we obviously had full faith that she was smash taking over that workload.
Yeah.
I'm proud of her.
What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for all those things I just mentioned. So like, so glad that I don't have gastro anymore, and that I've made, you know, been able to check off those few things that I was like, that felt like a bit of a drag on in the biz. It's just such a good feeling. I know you know what I'm talking about. And then my vacay, I'm just so, so excited to have uninterrupted quality time with my mans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Also, just quickly, every fucking 10 minutes, really grateful that I was saying yesterday we went for a swim in the ocean. I was like, Nick, we were in the snow yesterday and now we're swimming in the ocean.
Yeah,
like,
that's
what
wild.
Even is our life?
I love that.
Yeah.
Life could be whatever the fuck you want it to be. Like, it actually can.
Yeah, I literally wrote, I was talking my story saying, like, life can be this fucking good if you allow it to be.
I did see that.
So, guys, today we're doing a sissy advice ep. We've got so many cues. So we're actually going to do two. So if yours doesn't get answered today, it will in the next one.
Yeah, because we're actually recording another one on Thursday with no weekly update, guys. So
yeah, sorry
next week's
that.
Ep, when you hear this, the next one will be a lot of questions answered.
Also, let us know what you think, what you like and don't like.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
We appreciate the feedback. Do you want to give us this first cue?
I would love to know three things you two both disagree on.
Not much.
Coriander.
Dill.
Extreme sports.
I actually think that's it. Yeah, I don't know. But also, for whoever sent this question in, I'm curious, is it what me and Jess disagree on?
Like against each other? Like, or like against? What do we disagree on in the world? Because yeah, we like weren't mutually. Actually sure.
And also,
but we're the same person, so it would be
the same answer.
Yeah.
But what if it was the other way, what would you say? If it was what we disagree on in the world?
As in we both disagree on the same thing?
Well, we're going to anyway. So what you don't disagree on, I won't either.
It'll be controversial. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Do it.
I disagree on
conventional medicine. No.
Oh, fully. I disagree on, yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I don't know. But like, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah. I disagree on like going to your GP.
The healthcare system.
Well, it's not even the system. It's like,
it is the fucking system.
Is it? It's like, anyway, let's just fucking not go there. That's actually a really good one.
Yeah.
You know what I disagree on? And I don't know whether you agree on this. Agree Ooh, with me okay, on this. Hit me. I disagree on radical feminism.
Fucking oath, cunt. Oh my God.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm masked in a lot of ways and I'm masking my business in certain ways, la, la, la. But don't get fucking, she's popping off. But I love having a really I like being masked all day at work.
Yeah.
And then I love coming home to my fucking not toxic masculine man. Let me clarify. There's a very different, very big difference between toxic masculinity and healthy mask. And I love coming home to my healthy, safe, secure, masculine daddy and being able to step so deep into my femme and be nurturing, giving, like doing all the things for him. Don't get me wrong, he does a lot of things for me too. But I love looking after my man because he does the same for me in his masculine way.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And I couldn't agree more about the feminism thing because people just need to swing things too fucking far one way.
Yeah, just pipe the fuck down and just do you.
Yes. And also just a quick side note, because I know you've got one to add for this as well for our gratitudes, because I just remembered it was after we recorded. Nick bought me the most beautiful 17 red roses for our mum's 17 year like anniversary of her death, and wrote a poem on a card.
It was the sweetest thing ever.
I literally have goosebumps. Like, it was the fact that he just remembers every year, because he got me flowers last year as well, but just then even wrote a poem, like, sorry. You'll get this as well. I feel like
I'm going to share my Valentine's Day story after this.
Yeah, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
And then we'll fuck the Q&A off till Thursday.
But I was going to say, you'll understand just on this masculine femme thing, when you're dating someone who is very much in their mask, for them to write a poem, like, I just can't. My heart was just
and
like,
also,
like, his handwriting.
The thing, also Dylan has the most perfect handwriting. It's fucking random.
Nick can't relate.
Mine is like Nick's. So I feel like when they're so in their mask, it's still mask when they do those things.
Yeah,
like it's not
cringy. It doesn't give you the ick.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't give you the ick because like they're daddies.
Yeah. But yeah, it was so cute. Tell us.
Oh, okay. So guys, obviously since we last recorded, it's been Valentine's Day. This is
anonymous question. What did you get on Valentine's Day?
So, guys, I just can't express to you how much I utterly adore my man. And
it's mutual.
And before Valentine's Day, he just did the sweetest thing ever. So have I? I haven't talked about this on the pod yet, have I?
No, because Valentine. Well, we were in Japan. I spent it with my 12 Valentines. Oh, I love that.
So the Monday, I think Valentine's Day was the Wednesday night, but Dylan went back to night shift on the Monday just before. So because he plays footy, so he has to go back on night so we can go to footy training in the early evening. And also just shout out to him. He's actually such a wep. Like, he literally will do night shift, sleep for like 5 hours, if that, get up, go to the gym, then go to footy training, all while he's dieting, by the way, like on a fitness, Nick's fitness challenge, and then he'll go straight to work and then repeat. Like, his discipline is second to none, I'm telling you. Little plug for the man. But yeah, so leading up to him going, like when we first started dating, he was on night shift and then he went to afternoon shift. So the arvo shift was really good because we'd do our mornings together, like walk, swim. Then we'd have brekkie together. He'd go home and train or whatever. And then I'd go to work. So that worked really well for us. And then I had the PMs to like do my own thing, like do work, whatever. It's kind of switched around now. So we have the PMs together and then he goes to work and then he finishes when I'm already at work in the morning. So fuck, he's dieting. He's going to be back at footy. He's also training heaps, like at the gym. He's going to be so depleted. He's back with his old crew. They're going to be like, you know, carrying on like men, you know, friends do. And he's going to be so tired. And it's like his work is extremely high risk, like underground coal miner. And I just thought, like, I was getting a little bit of anxiety about like his safety, right? Like, it was only a couple of little conversations we had, but I was like, please be safe. So on the Monday night, which was 2 days before Valentine's Day, we had the night together and then he went to work and he was like, you've got an early Valentine's Day present in the cutlery drawer. He must have, I don't know, just put it in there because it was easy to hide it in there.
You know, this girl is going to eat.
True.
Where will she go first?
Or do the dishwasher. Yeah, true.
Nick would have put mine in the washing machine, in the dishwasher, near the vacuum. Just in the fridge.
Legit. Next to the coffee cups.
On my office desk.
Yeah, yeah, legit.
I was like, what?
And I opened the drawer and there was this little jewelry box in the cutlery drawer. Because I was originally like, is it a knife so that like I feel safe while he's on night shift? Like, what? Because he'd said in the text, like, you've got an early Valentine's Day present. Like, it's just so you know that I'll always come home safe to you. I'll always protect you. That kind of vibe. So I was like, is it a knife? Because that's fucking a bit rogue.
Stanley knife.
And also, like, we need new fucking knives. So, like, it could have been legit. But anyway, I was like, what is it? And then the colouring drawer was completely unrelated. So jewellery box, it was YCL, which is a brand that I wear as well, which is already, I love that brand. And then I opened the jewelry box and there was like a little folded up piece of paper. And I was like, has he left this in there by accident? Anyway, I opened it up. It was they must have to fill out this form as like part of their job periodically, I imagine. That's a safety commitment. So it had like Nexus Mining, yada, yada, yada. Like, these are my commitments to safety. And then at the bottom, they have to like handwrite their own safety commitment and sign it and date it. And obviously they have to give it to work or whatever. So he'd written at the bottom something along the lines of, my safety commitment is I will always go home safe after every night shift or something like that. And he'd signed it, dated it. And then on the back, there was like this full love letter about like all of those, obviously private, but like all of those same kind of things. And I was bawling at this point. I hadn't even opened the present. And then I looked in the box and there was like a little affirmation card inside it that was part of the gift, but it was, the affirmation itself was like so on brand for me or us, because it's something we actually say on the podcast quite a bit or just in life. And it said, life is always happening for me. So I thought that was coincidence, but like just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then the actual necklace inside was this gold 444 necklace. And 444 means protection, because I'm always saying to Dylan, like, babe, it's 222, it's 444, it's 555, like every time I see it, angel number McGee. So he got me the necklace with the 444 and my birthstone on it. And I was just like, there are so many parts to this present that are like so thoughtful and well thought out. And I was just like crying. And I called him crying and I was like, what the hell? It's like, I just love you so much, la, la, la. And then I called Meg and I was crying and I was like, I've waited my whole life for a love like this, like just like a happy mess. And it was just seriously so fucking thoughtful. So yeah, that was just really lovely. And then on Wednesday, he proceeded to give me my other Valentine's Day gift, which was a t-shirt with his name.
We can't put it on the podcast.
Why?
No, I was trying to be funny, but it obviously wasn't.
No, that was his present from me. So Peter also got me this t-shirt with like Dylan and all these photos of him on it, which I've seen on Instagram. Hey,
they
funny.
Look like the thug life, like.
yeah and I was gonna get him one, so it was funny. I was like, no, it's like he'll think I'm fucking lame, but then he got over me and I was like, lol. So yeah, that was just really fucking nice.
Yeah, that was so cute. Should we do just one more cue?
Yeah. How do you go forwards when the person who you expected to spend forever with hasn't come back and respected and wanted your boundaries? So
you don't.
Yeah, you absolutely don't. First of all, it's like not a lot of context, but
that's the whole purpose of boundaries.
Yeah, to like, keep the people, the aligned people in, and fuck the not aligned people off.
Yeah, if you're setting a boundary but then you're not honoring it, it defeats the purpose of setting it in the first place.
Yeah, the vibe I'm getting, because obviously these are anonymous and we have no idea who's sent this in, it's giving very low self-worth and needing validation from this other person to feel like you're worthy. So what I would personally do, or what I even kind of did do prior to my current relationship, because I just wanted to do the work on myself before I found love, was to spend so much time alone to get really, like, fall in love with yourself first. Do the work, because you, no offense, have to have a lot of work to do to build your self-worth. I also feel like the fact that you said who you expected to spend forever with, what were you basing that on? Because by the sounds of this person, this partner, it doesn't really sound like they were aligned, shared your values, valued you as much as you should value you. And even just like what I was talking about before, Meg, with the Valentine's Day gift, like life is always happening for you if you believe that.
I was just going to say that. Like,
so that wasn't your meant to be. You might have expected it at the time, but that doesn't mean, like, everyone expects to be with their current partner forever.
Yeah. And her saying hasn't come back. If you've, like, my interpretation is she's set this, I guess, like, ultimatum or something.
Well, I'm getting the vibe that they've left and she's like, where are they? Why haven't they come back? Or it could be a guy, who knows, but.
Yeah, right. I was thinking that they've said, like, I'm leaving you.
If this you don't is what do I X, need y, from Z. You. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they haven't come back. And it's like, it's a circle of what you were saying before about the self-worth thing, like, you need to value yourself enough to stay true to your initial word of, like, these are the things you expect.
Yeah, and because if you do expect those things and you have communicated that, then why on earth would you want to be with someone that doesn't want to fulfill those needs?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't want to come to the table with, like, the bare minimum.
And I really like what you said about everyone thinks that they're with their forever person while they're with them.
But,
like, every single heartbreak that I've had, you think it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then you realize that life does happen for you when you're in that right relationship.
And that was just, like, part of your journey.
Yeah, yeah.
To find the right person, yeah.
So how you move on is, yeah, you focus on yourself. And all the things that you said that you expected, and really integrating that.
And also on that note is, start by giving yourself all those things that you're asking for from this other person. Because when you show up as someone that fulfills their own needs, those aligned people will come.
Yeah.
And find
100%.
You.
Love it.
Well, we trust you found value in this ep.
A laugh or two, maybe. A bit of an update on our lives.
We will be recording next week's episode will be with the rest of the questions with no weekly update. So there's great questions in there. Feel free to send us more, as always, as we do these episodes monthly at least. And we would really love it if you could share this episode with someone who you think might also find value in it, because it helps us help as many people as possible and it really helps us grow the pod.
If we can just ask one favor of you guys, we record every single week to give you guys so much free value, and it would mean the absolute world to us if you could leave us 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify, or leave us a review if you're listening on Apple. This helps us know that you guys are loving it as much as we are and allows us to continue showing up and get on some more epic guests. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at TalkTovyToMePod, and that's also where you can find the link for the anonymous form for these sissy advice episodes. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.